Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
Head of production, our co-host, Seth Habager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Gotta wake up my darn mouth.
Yes.
It was a long weekend.
Yeah,
we appreciate you all joining us. We got fun stuff in this 9 o'clock hour. I do have to mention a programming note. I got confused. I thought Tom was in today. He is in tomorrow. We'll have our monthly veterans update tomorrow.
Looking forward
to that.
Yeah.
Appreciate Tom joining us tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Join us right in this time slot tomorrow. We'll be joined with our monthly veterans update.
Perfect.
We kick off entertainment news now, and this comes to us from Forbes.com, who recently did a piece on Tim Burton.
Okay.
And they, for this piece, Forbes does some pretty fair reporting from I've seen over the years. And they a shout out to Tim Lamers, contributor on this one. So they go back to an old interview with Conan O'Brien, where Tim Burton and Conan O'Brien are talking about the projects that Tim Burton has done over the years and everything. And this interview was back to from 1999. And the best boss I ever had, my former boss, Conan, asked the famed director about the weirdest reactions he got from a big studio executive when discussing his film ideas with them.
Hmm.
Which is a pretty good question, I think, because it's Tim Burton. And that nowadays, there's a lot of quote-unquote weirder directors and directors that do odd ends
eccentric
and stuff.
Yeah.
But he was kind of one of the originals of this, right, of our generation at least. And he this is what he said, quote, "Well, I've been lucky because I get to keep making films, so that's good. But I remember once the reaction I had when I said I wanted Sammy Davis Jr. to play Beetlejuice."
Really?
Wow.
Burton said the reaction he got from the studio executives was like, with the Davis pitch, was akin to the look a cat gives you when you want to put it in the water. Or a deer in the headlights.
Right.
Hmm? Davis, known... I genuinely believe that Sammy Davis Jr. was the most talented human being I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Not the most popular dancer or the best dancer I ever saw, the best actor I ever saw or anything like that. The greatest entertainer I've ever seen in my life.
All around.
Nobody can even come close to Sammy Davis for me in my book. I'm not saying I'm right, just my own opinion.
Right.
The way I looked at this and everything. And Davis certainly would have fit the mold. Like, think about some of the things that maybe seem weird or stand out about the movie, but like Deo. And Sammy Davis is in that role.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The Deo scene and some
right,
of that stuff
yeah,
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that he didn't change with Michael Keaton. He just kept them in there. But if you put Sammy in there, it's a whole different ballgame. And I love Michael Keaton. I want to stress this. I'm a gigantic Michael Keaton fan. I don't know how you can grow up in the 80s and not be.
Seriously.
You know, like a big, big fan of Mr. Mm-hmm. Keaton's. And one of the most, talented actors I've seen in the long, you know, mm-hmm. in his career. He's done such a good job, and he's done everything there is. But I love the idea of younger generations getting into Sammy Davis Jr. because of Beetlejuice. Like, I could have seen that happening.
That could have, absolutely.
I think the movie may have been even more popular if Sammy's in there.
Ooh.
Michael Keaton is not a gigantic film star at the time Beetlejuice comes out. He's a star. He's got Batman. He's got some of that. But people might forget, they pulled away from him after Batman. Because he's Batman. They don't want to cast Batman in a movie.
Right.
So he wasn't working as much and everything. And the studio didn't necessarily want Michael Keaton. He had to fight for Michael Keaton. So his first two options that Tim Burton brings to the table for Beetlejuice are turned down. And Sammy Davis Jr. and Michael Keaton. They ended up obviously working it out with Michael Keaton, and he comes in and does the job. And another interesting part of this article is talking about, they've been talking about for years to do a sequel. And it wasn't until the writers got together, the original writers and that and everything, and like, well, we got something here. And they decided to do it, and they pitch it to Michael Keaton first. Keaton reads the script, loves it, signs up right away. Shows up day one on set in character. Like, and Tim Burton couldn't believe it. Like, he just flipped a switch and he was Beetlejuice. Like, just immediately.
He's so good.
He's really good.
He's an amazing actor. Anyway, yeah.
It's just an interesting parallel universe to think of Sammy Davis Jr. in this role. And I genuinely think it might. The movie is a cult classic. And I love the movie. Right. I couldn't imagine if somebody had told me before I read this article and really got the confirmation, because this has been around for years, this conversation, that Burton wanted Sammy Davis Jr. But there was never any concrete evidence. The interview that he did with Conan was lost in the shuffle. This is interesting to me.
That's really cool.
And while I love the original and I can't wait to see the sequel and everything, I would love to have seen Sammy Davis Jr. in that role. I can't imagine how great he'd have been at
You know, and James, you know this better than anybody. You know, every project goes through, you know, that kind of thing. So-and-so was, you know, the first person to consider this role, and they turned it down, and then this other person stepped in, and now it's an iconic role kind of thing. But you're so right. It's one of the most fun things to do with movies is the whole what if. What if this had actually happened? What, you know, would that have changed the course of Hollywood or something like that?
What if Nicolas Cage had become Superman? You know,
who knows
that one goes? If Eric Stoltz had stayed on with Back to the Future and done that one and everything, it's such an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's
fun.
Well,
and I wonder then if he wouldn't have probably been able to make Tap with Gregory Hines that they did in 1989.
Ooh.
Because that happened like around the same time period. And then Sammy Davis Jr. died in 90.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, this is part of why I love doing these segments with you, Melissa. You see things and you have angles on things that we don't always do. If you don't know the movie Tap with Sammy Davis Jr. and Gregory Hines, it is the quintessential dance movie. Like, period. Singing in the Rain is my favorite dance movie, and it's top one, two all time. Like, you're never going to defeat that movie. But right there at number two or three is Taps. And to think that that movie might not have been made, like, actually made me shudder. Like, so that's a strong point
that's,
right there,
I mean,
Mel.
You're right.
That's a strong point.
This thing still happens. Yeah. So, yeah. Wow, amazing.
A One Tree Hill sequel series is in the works at Netflix with Sophia Bush and Hillary Burton Morgan returning as Brooke and Peyton. I don't know any of the words I just said. They'll also produce the show along with former co-star Danielle Ackles, and there's no word if she or any of the other cast members are going to be a part of the series or will appear on camera. Right now, they're just signing on as producers.
Okay, I
had 9 seasons.
What?
Yeah.
Of One Tree Hill.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the name of the show. That's it. I didn't even know. Wow. How about that?
I don't know the show. I know that there was like the Chad Michael guy or whatever was on the show for a while. He was popular.
So one of those three name guys that was there for in the 90s?
The most famous thing about this show is this. There is a scene where they're in a hospital. And the dad is supposed to be getting a heart transplant or something. And a guy walks in in the cooler, the heart. And he trips, and the heart goes flying in the middle of the ER. And a dog comes out and eats the heart and runs away with it. And then they cut to Chad Michael Murray, who looks at the dad and gives him this look like, told you so. Like, what is going on in this scene? Please,
sounds like a Stephanie Plum novel.
Please do yourself a favor. If you need a palate cleanser today, this may be the worst scene in TV history.
That sounds so bizarre.
There is Fonzie jumping the shark, and then there is this scene.
This one, yeah.
If you need a palate cleanser, my good friends out there, please look up this scene. Dog eats heart on One Tree Hill.
Do we need to change it? Do we need to change it from jumping the shark to eating the heart?
Yes, I think we do. Oh, I do.
Eating the heart. We got to change it now.
It is easily the worst scene I've ever seen in TV history. Like, period. There is no number two. There is no number three. I have, like, this has locked up my brain of thinking. I can't even think right now of other bad scenes I've seen. I've seen some bad ones in my day. This is it.
It's all you got left.
So if they're bringing that back.
It's described as a sports drama. How have you guys not seen this?
That's a great really sports drama. Drama, wow,
drama, wow. Coming of age, sports drama, romance.
Wow.
No idea.
Yeah, didn't know it.
Wow.
But yes, Melissa's right. One Tree Hill aired for 9 seasons, 2003 to 2012. First on the WB, and then the CW. I forgot about the WB.
Yes. Turn On had its own channel for a while, too.
We wrap up our entertainment section here talking about Adele. Adele announced that once her Las Vegas residency is over, she will take a break for an incredibly long time. Quote unquote, an incredibly long time.
Good for her.
She deserves it.
She told the crowd at her final night at her Munich residency on Saturday, quote, "I have really enjoyed performing for 3 years, which is the longest I've ever done and probably the longest I will ever do. I will hold you dear in my heart for that whole length of my break. I just need a rest. I have spent the last 7 years building a new life for myself, and I want to live it now." Adele will be in Las Vegas from October 25th to November 23rd, so she's still got some work to do here.
She still does.
And this news is not a surprise. Back in July, she said that she doesn't have plans for new music and wants to take a big break to do other creative things. Acting, probably, which is where a lot of... But that's not that. That's just me spitballing, because that's what a lot of singers do.
Yeah.
They just naturally go into acting. I could not agree with you more, Melissa, on this one. It's such a difficult... I look at this as an actor, certainly. But one of the biggest things they tell you as an actor, hey, you got that break. That's wonderful. That's really cool. Don't look behind you, because there are 19,000 other actors waiting to take your spot. So you got to stay relevant. You got to keep working. But then you can't work too much, because then the audiences get tired of you.
Right.
So overexposed. Yeah.
And you're told right away you're not supposed to say yes to every project. So before you know it, it's been 2 years since you've been in the movie. So, of course, you just keep working. That's the acting industry. Music... times that by 1,000,
right?
Because every day on your radio, there is a one-hit wonder out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to be a one-hit wonder. They didn't start out, you know what? I'd like to be a one-hit wonder.
Then rest on my laurels, right?
I don't need this whole career thing. I just want to have one hit I can put my whole career on. Like,
right.
That's not the game. So they're working even harder than I think the acting industry. You can make the argument. And you have somebody like this, like Adele, who was an overnight sensation. She kind of came out of nowhere and became a gigantic star overnight, not just here, but in England. So she's got nowhere she goes where it's not, people don't know. I mean, she goes by Adele. Like, you know it's big when you
single
just
name, right?
Yeah. Yep. So she's not kidding. These last 7, 9 years, whatever it's been since she got her break, nonstop in the studio. And if she's not in the studio, she's out touring. More power to her. Enjoy the break.
Man, a 3-year... Also, I didn't realize it was that long. Wow.
Rest your instrument, Adele.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and I can tell you, she's one of those stars, the fans will wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has such a dedicated fan base. They'll
100%.
Say, they'll be behind her the whole time. Say, take as much time as you want, and when you come back, we'll be here waiting for you.
You put out another album, we'll buy it.
Yep.
I think that it's easier to do this. I shouldn't say easier. I think it works easier to do it in the music industry because of the fan base thing.
Yeah.
Whereas an actor, you forget about acting. There's like 9,000 other ones that are waiting to be out there and stuff. But it also, I don't take that lightly. It doesn't mean necessarily that, oh, her career is going to be fine when she picks it back up. I'm sure that she, you know, it's going to take some work.
Mm-hmm.
But more power to her.
Yeah.
And enjoy the break.
Totally behind that.
You've earned it. And if you're looking for something to do, I mean, hey, you know, why don't you come out and co-host with me sometime, Adele? Come on by.
See, that's not fair.
You'd be bored.
Jeez.
Hey, come on. Give her something to do.
She'd just be too good. She could just say whatever and she'd be awesome.
I'm just saying that, you know, if she needs some hobbies or something to do in the meantime, you know, come
you
on
need
by.
To be on the radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a perfect... How many artists have gone from the Las Vegas residency right to doing co-hosting with me? It's
endless. The list is just...
It's what you do. It's what you do in the entertainment industry. Just come on over. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for joining us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Got to get into a couple of fun topics yet before we wrap up the show. And this one is quite interesting to me. Rucking is what we're going to talk about right now. Rucking. If you don't like walking and running because they're boring, here's an easy way to make them less enjoyable. The hot new workout trend, rucking.
Oh, dear.
Walking around while wearing a heavy rucksack or backpack.
What?
I have a cousin that did that, and he lost a ton of weight.
Really?
This is huge. It's huge in major cities. It's been going around for a while now, actually.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, I'm a little disappointed in the name. I feel like
it sounds
like,
horrible. Yeah,
like they could have come up with a better name than Rocky.
I agree.
I feel like, but regardless, there is evidence that this works for a number of people. It's based on how members of the military train. They have to do a lot of walking and running while they carry their equipment around,
which is a lot of weight.
It's gotten popular on social media because you probably have everything you need to do it and don't need to buy any special equipment for it.
Ah, that would be a reason, yeah.
Just grab a backpack from your closet and fill it with something heavy like books, and you can start small or just toss a water bottle in there. Adding some extra weight gets your heart rate up faster than if you just walk in a leisure pace. Mm-hmm. And it adds more strength training into your mix.
Hmm, true, okay.
Carrying more weight.
Now, hearing the process, sounds it makes sense, yeah.
Well, but what else would you call it? You're carrying a backpack, so back walking? That's weirder.
Actually, it sounds like you're walking backwards, yeah.
I mean, pack walking wouldn't be too bad, but then that sounds like you're in a pack.
Because rucksack, I like the name rucksack.
Yeah,
I
right.
Sack walking?
How about nap?
No.
like, how about naps? Let's see what else you call a backpack. Okay, like a knapsack? Mm-hmm. Napping? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that wouldn't work.
That's what I like to do. For say,
I'm going to go napping now.
There's a new exercise trend, napping.
Huh?
Now, you want to stretch
for me.
Before.
I've gained 20 pounds in the last 3 years.
See? That works.
Now that's the exercise routine James needs. That's what he needs. Yes. Some napping, gain some weight.
Get some stretches in.
There you go.
I will say, if you want to do some professional napping, blackout curtains. Blackout curtains, man.
Oh, that does. Greatest, they do help, yes.
One of the greatest investments I've ever made. I like this trend. One of the things I like about this, I'm joking about the name and everything,
right.
But in all honesty, I grew up with a father who didn't have a gym membership but was an athlete. Hmm. Like all the training he did, outside of maybe a bit of weight training in the Windy City Gym. Shout out to the Windy City Gym. There was no way for him to build up his body other than his father, who was a Marine, and training him and teaching him, hey, Jim, you do this. It should help your back pain, or it should help your power in your legs on the ice and some of these things.
Right.
And it worked for my dad.
Yep.
I love the old Rocky mentality of training. Like, I don't need a gym to
just
train.
Just use what you have.
Right, exactly. Not spend any money.
I think it depends on knowing you. Well, not depends on. You have to know yourself and what kind of worker are you. Do you get more encouraged to work out around other people and in a gym setting? Does it put you in the right mindset to get into the workout? Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, that's how it is. The gym life is the only way that they're going to really keep on this stuff. Some people, it's equipment thing, and I get that. But and I got to shout out our local YMCA, which is amazing. And if they will work with you. They want to work with you. I would never let anybody, I can't afford the Y. No, go on over there and check it out. Yeah,
yep.
Go talk to them.
They can help you out with that, absolutely.
But I would say with this, make sure you load your backpack properly. Put the heavy things on the bottom.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because if you don't do this carefully, I mean, you could lead to injury very easily, too. So you want to be careful with that. You know, James, it's interesting you're saying about, like how working out for me, because I know me personally, just working out is the problem. If I have a point to it, then that makes it a lot easier for me. So like, say I want to go for a walk, like this is a great example. Okay. So like, I go to the library. The library where I live is like just over, like a mile away. Mm-hmm. Okay. I fill a backpack full of books, maybe I need to return to the library.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go up and walk to the library, maybe get some more books for the way back kind of thing. It's like, so that actually, I could see that working for someone like me, motivating me more to like get out
Seth,
more.
You need to go grocery shopping.
There you go. Walk there with a bag on the backpack. Yeah, there you go.
I love the idea of our libraries becoming more and more popular, but people are just going in there looking for heavy books.
Yeah, right.
Do you have a copy of War and Peace? Do you have
anything by James Michener?
Yes,
I'll take the whole section.
Borrow A through N of your encyclopedias.
Yeah. Just getting my workout in.
I'll be back for the rest of the alphabet next week.
Yeah, exactly. Just another fabulous use of your library. Yep.
I really do love the idea of not only people working out more and caring more about their health and everything, because we want you around, but the idea of doing it what fits them.
Absolutely.
Now, the 80s actually kind of had this a little bit. When we were growing up, there was like 90 different B celebrities or celebrities out there. There were, you know, Suzanne Summers and her machine that she had. Richard Simmons had a bunch of workouts. The leg warmer workouts is what my dad used to call them. Where they were just
headbands. I mean, we brought like everything else from the 80s. Let's bring back sweatbands.
What they were trying to do was give multiple options to multiple people because everybody's a little bit different when how they work out and how they want to take care of themselves. I feel like we're getting back to some of that where, hey, if you're not a gym person, you know,
that's okay.
We want you to still take care of yourself. Just do it at home. Do it privately. Some people feel more comfortable in that atmosphere. Some people are, for me, I don't mind the gym, but I go to the gym for cardio. I like to walk around or play some basketball or something like that. When it comes to weights, I'm more of a, I want to be alone. I want to, you know, I don't mind a spotter with me or something like that. I work out a lot.
You should have a spotter with
I definitely need a spotter. Yes, I definitely need it, as my father will tell you. Him, not as much.
No.
Man's still in good shape.
Man. I'll bet, but man.
It's important to do, because what is one of the biggest factors keeping you from working out? You. Like, we talk ourselves out of it, or we run out of time or any of these things. So one of the quickest ways of doing that is, well, I got a gym membership. I paid so much money for it. And then you guilt yourself because you didn't go. And then you just beat yourself up more and more. And then you get in a hole.
Never end up going anyway. Yeah.
Maybe the gym ain't for you. Maybe this is more for you. Or maybe it is the opposite. Maybe you've been trying to work out at home and you just haven't stayed motivated. Maybe going to a gym will motivate you.
How about do you like to swim? Go back to the why. Yes. I mean, that's a great way to get a workout is in the pool.
I got to get some swimming in, man. I got to get it. Usually we get towards the end of summer and I realize, oh, God, I didn't do anything. This year, I feel like I actually did some stuff this summer.
Excellent.
But I did not swim enough.
Got to get some swimming in, man.
Never swim enough.
No, it's a good point, Mel. Good point. We will take a quick time out, check in with our local and state news and some sports news, take care of some partners. And when we come back, we're going to get into another fun one. Did a leaked memo confirm advertisers are listening to our commercials?
No.
Our conversations.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes.
I think I've heard of this.
And a website's going to pay you to taste all of their pumpkin spice stuff.
Oh, good.
Huh?
Oh, wow.
I might lose my team here. I might lose some people.
You may lose.
Not me.
You might be on your own YouTube.
I refuse to taste candles.
Spoiler alert.
You can eat wax. Wax lips.
Wax lips.
You can eat wax.
I never liked those things.
You're not supposed to swallow it, Seth.
You could.
My sister.
Not saying I did.
Nice. You're not alone, man. My sister, she got some of those for Halloween and was playing with them. And like 2 minutes later comes running into the room. I swallowed part of it. She was freaking out because she thought that she couldn't eat them. Like they were unedible. And like she had just swallowed plastic or something like that. I'll never forget the look. Her big blue eyes freaking out. It was good. We will take our time out. We'll come back. We're going to have some more fun in the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. The Bowery got his bumps. 42nd Street got Big Jim. A walker, he a bull shooting son of a gun. Melissa, Seth, and Jim here with you. No,
I hope your dad's listening actually to that one. Yeah,
so probably the first and only time you'll ever hear me call myself that.
Yeah,
we appreciate you guys listening. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. This is an interesting one right here. The big companies like Google and Amazon have always denied that they let companies spy on us, listening in on our conversations, but maybe keep being paranoid. The site 404 Media just published a leaked memo from a large marketing company where they brag to clients about a feature called active listening. And it's not the first time they have been exposed for it.
Mm-hmm.
Cox Media Group actually bragged about it last year on their own website. They took the page down after people freaked out, but it looks like they're still bragging about it when pitching to potential clients. Mm-hmm. Their leaked pitch says they use AI to capture, quote, real-time intent data by listening to people's conversations. Then they use it to pinpoint potential customers. It is not clear exactly how they're listening. Google, yeah. Facebook, Amazon all say they're not involved in the program. Google even said that they dropped the company from their ad partners program. Quote, when we identify ads or advertisers, they violate our policies, we will take appropriate action. Mm-hmm. The big question is, how could this be legal? And some experts say it is not. But the marketing company seems to think it is, as long as the software companies bury it in their fine print.
Uh-huh. That's what they think, yeah.
They told potential customers, quote, it is totally legal for phones and devices to listen to you because consumers usually give consent when accepting terms and conditions.
Because we don't read them because they're 6 miles long.
Mm-hmm. Intentionally.
Yep.
Intentionally.
Yep.
They're like that. Yep.
So vaguely,
we do not.
That you can't possibly understand it without a lawyer explaining it to you.
Exactly.
I'm not a friend of any big corporation. I'm not in anybody's pocket or anything like that. I do think it is noteworthy when a company like Google has put in the effort that they have over the last 10 years to privatize data and to not do this as much as other companies. That being said, they still do it. They do. You know, they're if you do it once, you're just as guilty as everybody else.
Right.
This is one of those things. Amazon, Facebook, they do not shy away from this stuff. Mm-hmm. They pretty much tell you they're doing it every time you pull up one of those pages and you see suggestions that you did not look up.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, but you got it. Something you just talked about.
Right. I read this story, and I want to give a shout out to 404 Media. It's an excellent website for technology news, privacy mm-hmm. news. It was for reporters who used to work for Gizmodo, who is now defunct, basically. They went off on their own, and they do excellent reporting.
Really good reporting.
And so any kind of stuff like this, I mean, they are right spot on. But, I mean, it just goes to show where we are in yeah. the thing. And, you know, talking about the fine print, this is going to come to a head very soon. Because I don't think that human beings can sign away all of their rights by agreeing to this, one of these terms and conditions things. Mm-hmm. You can't just give away your right to privacy. Mm-hmm. That's not something you can do.
Right.
Right? So I think there's going to be some legal things coming out of these. We're going to be seeing those very soon, I think. And and I've said this before, what we need is a comprehensive privacy law. Congress needs to get on this because mm-hmm. it has not been updated since the 80s. We need a privacy law. That gets yes. to other all of this stuff.
Other countries are further ahead on that than we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, exactly.
And I got to say this part, too. We need younger people in politics.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We really desperately
who
need that.
Understand this.
Yes,
right. Much more. Have stuff. Experience
exactly.
Of it.
We need people that understand this world a lot better than any of us do.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people in office right now that don't know how to send an email.
They predate the internet.
Yeah. And this is not me taking shots. This right. is
no,
not me.
It's just factual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We need people in these positions that understand the tech world better than we understand the tech world.
Exactly.
Because it's part of their job. And the idea of what you said there, Seth, about, you know, I don't think many people would disagree with you about that and mm-hmm. getting something like that in the books and in our laws.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a gray area. We're yep. we're trying to figure out the internet in the middle of using the internet.
Right.
We are trying to fix the boat while we're on the water. I think a lot of people have some grace with that, a lot of understanding on that. But we also
some of us are getting sick of bailing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. 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 That's exactly where I was going with this, Melissa, because I'm really sick and tired of saying, well, we need a bill for this or we need a law for this. And the first thought I have is, well, they can't even change minimum wage.
Yep.
They can't even do that.
Or whatever your thing is. Yeah. Why hasn't that been done? Why hasn't that been done?
I'll tell you, the politician I'll vote for, one that can get things done. Like
yeah.
one that's actually going to work like that, though. That sounds good to me.
It's easy.
Oh, guys, big corporations aren't putting money behind those candidates.
Well, that's true.
Right.
That's
right.
Very true. But look at it's very easy. People are polled on this stuff all the time. You can find out what's popular with people. It's like, well, let's see. Well, this is popular. This, but I should run on these things that maybe people will vote for me.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of having your campaign being run by a business. Exactly. We need more. But this is where we can't. So this is one of those things that I do believe power to the people, because you're not going to, you can't expect them to get it done for us, even though that's their job, mm-hmm. is listening mm-hmm. to us and doing the constituent right. thing. This is going to be something that we have to do as our, as people, a grassroots kind of mm-hmm. thing, that mm-hmm. we demand pressure. This stuff yep. and we put the pressure on them and don't vote for people that are not going to work with you on this and care about these things. Man, I learned this real quickly doing the interview game. Like, you don't have to ask hardball questions. You don't have to ask you gotcha questions and these kind of things. That is some of the lamest stuff in journalism. Mm-hmm. You just ask simple questions. Let them hang themselves.
Yep.
Or enlighten themselves. Or give their constituents the whatever. Real version of them. Whatever it might be, they're able to do that themselves.
Right.
You don't have to work too hard at this. Listen to them. And listen to the politicians, especially the ones that you're thinking of voting for in November. And listen the direction they go. Listen to the things that they are touching on and that they will talk about. You ask a politician, hey, how would you fix the economy? Well, my opponent... No, stop. Stop right there. I didn't ask about your opponent. I asked about you. How are you going to do this? They tell you so quickly the game that they are playing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That website that Seth mentioned, 404 Media, that is 404media.co, 404media.co. Big shout out to them and thank you to them on the reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And James, do you remember us talking about the Disney was trying to dodge the wrongful death suit
mm-hmm.
of the woman who died after eating? So now they have reversed their position. So this is kind of the first instance.
Oh, wow.
Well, this is our fine print said that you can't sue us for anything. Well, that's not going to hold up in court.
No.
And they realized that. So plus one.
Shots fired.
Yeah. And I will say that I think from what we talked about, Melissa, that was the PR thing to do, too.
So, yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, that really works out for them.
It would have been really dumb for them to
do. Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really dumb.
Yeah. Let's touch on this one before we go to break. A website called Finance Buzz will pay someone $1,000 to try all of the pumpkin flavored products Trader Joe's is stocking up this fall.
Trader Joe's.
You also have to rate each one. The actual job title is Pumpkin Spice Pundit.
PSP is what I'll call it from now on.
You'll have to try dozens of products, everything from pumpkin waffles to pumpkin spice ginger brew, and you'll have about 2 weeks to do it. You need to be 18 or older to apply, and you have to live close enough to Trader Joe's to shop in person. On top of that, on top of the $1,000, you'll get paid $500 gift card to buy everything.
Is that enough?
No way.
It's Trader Joe's. What are you talking about?
I walked into a Trader Joe's once in my life. Pumpkin spice
things are jacked up in price, too.
In the first aisle I walked down, they had a jar, a jam jar, mm-hmm. That kind of, I forget what you call those, but just a regular old jam jar with a piece of broccoli in it, and it was in water, and they were selling it for $13. And that was the cheapest product.
You didn't even know, James, when you walked in the door, they charged you $10. You don't know how they did it, but
$9.99 they charged. Yeah, yeah. Because it would be $9.99. It wouldn't be $10, right? I can't even afford to talk about Trader Joe's.
No, it's no.
I don't know. $500 is going to get you any of these.
Unless they want to advertise, it's no free advertising.
Yes.
So yeah,
you will have from September 13th to October 6th to try and review each item if you're interested. You've got until next Tuesday, the 10th, to apply at financebuzz.com. Financebuzz.com.
I don't even know where the closest Trader Joe's is to us, so I think we're disqualified.
Probably. But I would love to follow up with this after somebody gets the job and actually see
that would
what,
be interesting.
Because we talk about these kinds of jobs all the time, but we never do the follow-up.
To see if they actually have... what I wonder is, what if they do this and the person's like, oh, this is all terrible. And maybe that's why you never hear about it.
Zero.
Yeah. It's like, let's under the rug.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Pumpkin spice Twinkies? That's a thumbs down.
Is there a store you would like to do this at?
Oh. Ooh, now that would be a good, interesting thought experiment.
But does the product experiment have to be pumpkin spice?
Oh, no, no.
I was going to say yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying a store. That would be funny. just a store that you would like to be able to do, sample out their products and everything, but maybe one that you don't go to very often. Yeah, I think that would be fun. I think that it actually would be kind of a fun job, it seems like, in some right. ways.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm more just curious about the job itself. But the more they're talking about this, you got to do all the legwork. You mm-hmm. got to do it. Like,
you got to go do the shopping. You got to find the products. You got to.
And I'm going to need another $500 gift card.
You will. I mean,
otherwise, I don't know.
I think you've already spent it all, you know?
For $1,000, like just thinking about this, I feel like we spent it all. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
It's all in Trader Joe gift cards. You buy three things, you know?
Yes, that's it. That's it. You're walking out of there with some salary and a mason jar of water. That's
and some sunflower seeds. That's all you
None
get.
None of those things are pumpkin spice flavored, guys. Come on.
Wait a minute. There's pumpkin spice sunflower seeds, I guess, somewhere.
Oh,
bet you
there's
got to
be.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's dill pickle ones.
Yeah.
If not, some marketer out there just heard that and like, whoa, jeez. Like,
let's get on it.
Running to the store right now. We got to make these. Quick. There's something we haven't made pumpkin spice of. Let's go to our timeout. Our final one of the show. We'll come back and wrap things up at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
Coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We'll take you to the top of the hour, get into our schedule and some local good stories of the day in a moment. But we told you about the new AI companion necklace that keeps you company if you don't have any friends necessarily. There's this that's been going around for a little while. But a new study found that's not really the case for most people. The American Friendship Project looked at how many friends the average American has in 2024 and how many it compared to 50 years ago. And even though we're all overworked and constantly online now, nothing has really changed. The average American has 4 to 5 people they consider true friends. That's pretty much in line with every year since 1970.
Wow.
Only 2% said that they have no friends, which is also about the same as it was in 1970.
Huh.
One thing we do wish we had more of, though, is additional time with our friends. Most people said that they're good with the number of friends they have, but 42% aren't as close with their friends as they'd like to be or don't have the time that they would like to put into their friendships.
That's interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, too. Mm-hmm. It really does.
So technology has not destroyed our friends or friendships or anything like that. If anything, it is, you know, nothing has changed, which is fascinating when you think about
that's it. That's 50 years. I mean, that's a long time. Yeah.
Whether you have technology in this conversation or not, the fact that something hasn't changed like that in all this time is pretty noteworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I think, like I've mentioned before, I'm horrible at making friends. I'm really bad at this. I always have been. I thought that one of the things that would come with being online, foolish as I am, I thought we'd actually be able to meet more people, be able to talk to more people, be able to make more friends. And I was part right on this.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of people out there who break this up. You have your friends, and then you have your online friends.
Exactly.
A lot of people look at the world, especially younger generations, look at the world of friendship that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, man. And it's interesting that the whole study there, by the way, the American Friendship Project, or the AFP as I'm going to call it from now on,
nice.
I didn't even know that existed.
I have never heard of this
I was
before.
Like, wow, we have a project about friendship? Sorry, that was an aside, though. But you're so right. You are so right. It's a time thing, you know?
Yes.
And I think that now you have to divide your time between online and, you know, IRL. And what's the difference? Which do you value more? It seems like people want that in-person time more, but they just don't have the chance to do it. They don't have as much time.
Yeah. Well, and there's also science that backs up how many connections we actually can handle as a human.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
You know, there's only so much a level of deepness you can have in a relationship based on how much time you spend together.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And you have a limited amount of time.
So many of the best conversations I can think I've ever had with a friend were organic. I didn't walk into the conversation, I'm going to open up to them today. Like, it just happened organically because we were around each other and having these opportunities to have that happen. I think that part of it is really noteworthy. And especially, Seth and I were joking during the break. You were saying that today's felt like a really good show.
Yep.
And it's been great, but that isn't usually how it goes for us. Usually we come back after a long weekend and we got to get our bearings back.
A little rusty,
everything.
Right? Yeah.
It kind of feels like we have some good evidence for a 4-day work week.
I agree. 100%.
is rusty. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Melissa's always on
Monday.
Point.
I am always on.
Straight money. That's what we call her behind the scenes. Melissa, straight money, straight cash, homie.
Okay. Well, okay. It's better than two sheds, I guess, but...
The American Friendship Project, to note that, Seth, is a collaborative project between Colorado State, Michigan State, and Kansas State Universities.
Oh.
The goal is to create an accurate and complete account of American friendship, its health, and how it has changed over time.
That's really cool. I think that's a really worthwhile project.
I haven't heard of this either.
No, that's really neat.
That is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That is pretty interesting. Let's go ahead and dive into some good stuff for the day and our schedule. And we got some great things lined up for you. Join us all week long, 4 to 5 for Midday Magazine. Got some wonderful guests lined up. We say a big thank you to Pam Hilke and the wonderful job she does with that.
Mm-hmm.
In part one today, we're talking to our friends at Three Bridges Recovery.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a great whole program coming up mm-hmm. that I want to talk about, Falling into Recovery, that's coming up in just days from now, really. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that. And in part two, we're going to talk to our good friends Stephanie and Jacob from the Southwood County YMCA.
All right.
Excited about that. Talk to our local Y a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Seth, you had something for us as well.
Yeah, coming up this weekend on Saturday, that's the 7th at 8 a.m., there's the walk-off debt for school meals. All are welcome to join the 1.5 mile walk to raise funds for Southwood County Schools to pay off student meal debt. This is happening at the First Congregational UCC Church, 311 2nd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. It's sponsored by Grace, the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism. You're just asked to collect donations from your faith community and bring that to the Port Edwards United Methodist Church. Of course, they will be there to collect funds as well. This money will be donated to area schools to pay off any some meal debt. It depends, of course, on how much they get. Cash is also accepted, and also during the walk, prayers will be offered for the community as well. And make sure you, if you have a T-shirt of your faith community, show it off while you're there. We want to get as many people from as many groups as we can. So.
That's a great idea. Sir.
Yeah.
That's right. And that should be a really good program. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah,
we'll be talking
exactly.
about that more and more as we get closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Rapids Parkinson's Support Group meets on the first Wednesday of each month in the Legends Room at Ridges Golf Course in Wisconsin Rapids. They meet from 1:30 to 2:30. There is no charge for this. The group caters to those with Parkinson's diagnosis and as well as their caregivers. They have a great Facebook page you can find out more at, or you can go to wyparkinson.org, wyparkinson.org. Or give them a call, 715-451-3694. That's 451-3694. And we don't get to do this nearly enough. If you're looking for a wonderful volunteer opportunity, I encourage you to reach out to our ADRC, our friends at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Meals on Wheels, or helping deliver meals, or being a leader or peer leader. These are all kinds of things that you can do over there, and it's some of the best use of your time. And the ADRC will work with you on Meals on Wheels. Say you live in a certain part of town, you don't really have a lot of time to drive to the other part of town or something, they'll work with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the clientele that you are working with are some of the greatest human beings you will meet. You are going to make new friends, you are going to enjoy yourself and have some memories that you'll hold on to for a very long time. Encourage
great
you to reach out.
Great organization, yep.
ADRC-CW.org, ADRC-CW.org. I want to get some world good stories here. If you haven't seen, did you have something else, Seth? I'm sorry.
You
had one more thing. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's all right. It's just mentioned that we're still collecting books at the Moravian Church for the fall book sale. We're until Sunday, September 15th, so you only got a couple of weeks left, everybody. Get those books into us as much as you can over the next couple of weeks. We'll take them all because we are going to have another great book sale. Remember, all the proceeds to that go to scholarships at MSTC. So,
yeah, that's a great program.
Yep.
And thank you for mentioning that, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it, there is a great video of a Pittsburgh weatherman who recorded his daughter on every first day of school. It starts with her first day of kindergarten, and now she is a senior in high school. Every time he asked what she wanted to do when she grew up, and her answer changed a lot over the years. It's a fun video, and especially today with all the kids getting back to school and everything.
Those are always so cute.
Yeah.
Please be safe out there. Be smart out there, mm-hmm. everybody. Look on the roads. Keep an eye out for the roads. You know, you went to school when you were a kid. You know what time usually school wraps up and everything. Keep an eye out for these kids. Let's have a safe first day of school out there, everybody.
100%. Watch out for school buses, too, drivers.
Yep. Everything, yep.
Cops in Wisconsin used a drone to help find a 3-year-old kid who got lost in 100-acre cornfield.
Whoa.
He told them he ran into the field while chasing a cat.
Oh, cats leading people astray. Okay, that was me. I'm not mean to cats.
No, if we didn't have a minute left, I'd have gone right to end the show right there. I'd ended the show right there. I do want to note those police officers. That is fantastic work by them. Mm-hmm. And for those that didn't hear, we'll talk about this on Playmakers tomorrow a little bit. But Ricky Purcell, wide receiver rookie for the San Francisco 49ers, was shot in a robbery attempt the other day, and is still with us majorly because of the police officer that happened to be 10 minutes away handled the situation like a pro, like a champ, like she was a baller. Like, I mean, just an incredible job. We don't highlight our officers nearly enough when it comes to these things. We appreciate them and appreciate the service
that they put
in. We will have more show for you tomorrow. We'll be having some fun with a Wednesday show coming up. You two have a great day.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.